Okay, this coming Shabbos we'll have the opportunity to read from Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim begins, of course, with the famous words, Shofetim v'shoterim, that you should go ahead and set up judges and police for you. And the Medrash comments that one should learn from the ant, Lechel Nemala Atzel. The ant has no judge or no policeman watching over it, and still it does its work despite the fact that its lifespan is only 6 months long, and still it continues to store much, much more food than necessary for it to do so, since it hopes that Hashem might expand its life, and then it'll be ready for an expanded life at that point in time. So Rav Altuski, the author of the Chidushei Basar Zatzal, notes that even though this miracle never happened to any ant at any point in time, this particular ant, every particular ant, does not give up hope, since Hashem has the ability to do anything at any moment. And laziness begets giving up, laziness leads to giving up, and so the Medrash is encouraging us not to give up hope and set up a society without worry about when it will be utilized properly. We should learn, Lechel Nemala Atzel, understand that we don't just do things for ourselves, we do things because at any moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change the situation. And even though the Gula hasn't come, with God's help, it will in our days. Later in the parasha, we read the story about the Melech. Som tasim alecha melech. You should place a king upon you. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Amid Beis discusses the machlokas as to whether the appointing of a king is a mitzvah or not. So according to those who hold it's a mitzvah, why is it that the Jews waited? Why, if you have a chiyuv to do something, so do it right away. So Maran Rav Shechter explained that the request of the people was a precondition to the chalosa mitzvah. That until the people asked for a melech, they did not have an obligation to put it on themselves. And so prior to the point of Shaul HaMelech, the people didn't feel the need to ask as yet. And if that's the case, we can understand that the obligation had not started as yet. And so therefore we understand why a melech only came up as an idea during the days of Shaul and Shmuel. Torah continues with another discussion, that the first of the grains, vineyard, and olive press, and the first of the shearings, those things are given to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in our Torah, the only obligation to separate Truma and Maaser applies to Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzar, including all fruits, and anything like them, including fruits. Well, let's start again. The Minato, or the only obligation to separate Truma and Maaser, applies to Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzhar. The Rambam explains that the Torah singles out Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzhar to teach us that anything like them, including all fruits, which are like Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzhar, are chayav in Trumas and Maaser. Shita Mekubetzes and Bam Mitzian, Da Pechesam and Beis notes that only the Shiva Saminim are chayav in the Torah. So the Shita Mechubetzes disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban says not like either of them. He says that the requirement to separate Truma even applies even from grapes and olives. That is to say, the only chiyuv to separate Truma min HaTorah is shemen zayis, olive oil, and yayin, and wine. But grapes and olives themselves would not be chayiv. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger comes along and he says he doesn't understand the Ramban. We have Mishnayos that clearly talk about taking from anavim onto wine, taking from zesim to count for truma on the oil. If the Ramban were to be correct, not like the Rambam, and not like the Shita Mekubetzes, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if that were to be correct, then we wouldn't be able to take from something that's only chayiv min Rabbanan to separate for something that's chayiv min HaTorah. Ergo, suggests Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Ramban's got a really serious situation. And how does he explain? So the Chazon Ish comes along over here and he says, no, the Ramban separates between two different types of grapes and two different types of olives. A grape that's going to be pressed into wine is considered like wine already. That's what the Ramban is talking about. Those things are chayav min HaTorah. An olive that's about to be pressed into olive oil, that's already considered as though it's olive oil. So a different quality, and so therefore, a person would be allowed to separate from those olives and say, give truma from the olive for the olive oil that he's already pressed. That's different than a grape or an olive that's going to be sold in the supermarket as a grape or as an olive. Those things, according to Ramban, would not be chayav min d'oraisa, and that makes a difference. Okay. Then the Torah goes ahead and starts getting into a very long discussion about what people like to do in their lives, how they like to engage in what it is they like to do. So that the Torah tells us, Tamim tia im Hashem alokecha. We have a responsibility to be tamim with Hashem. What does it mean to be tamim? So Ibn Ezra defends tamimus as entailing simplicity. And Ramban says, Rambam says it's an intellectual, philosophical understanding of the concept, while Ramban says, no, you have to develop an all-embracing relationship, both intellectually and emotionally, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Aaron Zatzal, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal noted that all three, Ibn Ezra, Rambam, and Ramban, are all correct, but it depends on the context. There's a time and a place for each approach in our religious consciousness, and we must be sure not to disparage either those who appear more naive, or certain tamimis that's a naivete, so they are more naive than we are spiritually, nor should we disparage those who have an even greater degree of sophistication in their avodas Hashem. Each one is being mekayim the mitzvah of tamim tiyem Hashem alokecha. Sometimes we always say the one who is more simple than needs our help, and we should be merachim in a little bit of sad hubris. And the other side always argues that no, it's not a question of being merachim, it's a question of realizing that those people to the right of me are more fanatic and crazy. Here, what Rav Aaron is telling us is, no, they're all being mekayim, tamim, tia, im, Hashem, Elokecha. Torah tells us, going a little bit further, the Torah tells us that we have a responsibility when we go out to war, lo sira mehem. We should not be afraid of the enemies. And the Rambam counts not being afraid about going to war against an enemy as a mitzvah. Being afraid is a problem. Ravid challenges this and says it's a haftacha, not a mitzvah. How can you expect a human being not to have fear when you're facing the perilous situation of war? So Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger, Shlita from Brooklyn, explained that the Rambam is speaking about a different type of war than the war that the Ravid's speaking about. The Ravid speaks about of a war between one man and another man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving avtach in that situation. But the Rambam speaking about the man's battle with himself and his Yetzer Hara. And so hence, the Ravid knows that his battle cannot be without fear, based on command alone, while the Rambam demands that a man step up and set himself up to the challenges of fighting his own Yetzer Hara, and not being afraid of the process, but rather to be stark, to be strong in this process of winning. Then we're told we should not be mashlis esayitz. We should be careful not to engage in maltashlis, just ripping things off trees. Agav, there's a beautiful shir from our Mori, my friend Rav Shai Shachter, where he talks about the mitzvah of Baal Tashchis as an extension of just understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful world. But what does it mean that man is like the tree of the field? So Rav Gedalia Shor, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, explained that the comparison is not haphazard. Unlike vegetation that needs to be rejuvenated yearly, the tree learns to sustain itself. And man too needs to work on himself so that his strengths reinvigorate him. He shouldn't need to constantly plow in order to find his own strengths. He should know where they are, he should work on them and bring forth beautiful fruit, while not allowing those talents to be blighted out into waste. At the end of the parasha, we're told what to do in regard to a situation where an egla arufa has to be brought. And the Torah ends our parasha by telling us, V'atot tiva'er d'dam ha'anokim mikebecha. And Ibn Ezra notes that this is the punishment for having innocent blood, and that if we follow the word of Hashem with Yashuas, blood doesn't get spilled. So Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the late great Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir in Yerushalayim, he asked, how is that possible? After all, everyone is free, Bechira Chavshas, so how is it that if I'm careful, that somebody else will not have a desire to go ahead and blow someone away? How does one person's yashus make sure that the next one doesn't choose to murder? So Rav Nosson Tzvi answered that it's a nurture thing. When the environment is an environment of yashus, it doesn't enter someone's head to do the opposite and get up and murder. The fact that somebody thinks that it's okay, that the environment is ripe for it, says that we have to do what we can to strengthen ourselves. The Haftorah continues with Yishayahu HaNavi, who says, we forgot about Hashem, who spreads himself out over the heavens. Rav Schwab Zatzal pointed out that the Navi over here is reminding the Jewish people to get past the symptom and to focus on the root of the problem that leads to all of the tzaras in life. And the root is our own shortcomings and failings in the eyes of Hashem. Because that's what's causing our enemies to hate us. And Rabbi Schwab Zatzal added that the Yishayahu HaNavi was not only speaking to the threat of the Assyrians of his time, he speaks to the Jew facing the enemies of his generation, and Bizman Hazeh, even the Arabs. In order for each of us to know that it's not just to the enemy that we need our focus, but rather to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the shortcomings in our relationship with Him, that we need to focus and make ourselves stronger and better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that ability. We're holding in the month of Elul, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li is not just a very nice acronym, it's a understanding that has to come out during this period in time. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu renew our spirits there within and give us the ability to engage in a Shuvu El Hashem so that we can truly experience a Yom Shekulo Shabbos with awe.